Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our scripture text is taken from Psalm 27, verse 1, which says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, those of us who are believers in Christ, we have a tremendous advantage in this life. We have God on our side. He's looking out for us. He's helping us. He's meeting our needs. He's watching over us. He's blessing us. The scripture asks, "Whom shall I fear?" Really, if we are God's children, God's child, He's watching over, He's protecting us just like we protect our children. And whom shall I be afraid? We shouldn't be afraid of anything because we know God is present with us at all times. Those of us who know Christ personally. And so therefore, it doesn't matter what the situation is. We can always trust Him. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's promised to help us through the difficult time, and He will, as we submit ourselves to Him and as we look to Him for our wisdom, our guidance, and direction. And I trust that God will bless us today in a mighty way. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Reverend Mark Perkins, who is the director of Destination Life Fellowship in Niagara Falls, New York. And the Lord has blessed him in a mighty way. He's got several ministries that he's overseeing, including being on the board of Isaiah 61 Project. Mark, why don't you tell us about that project and what it's doing for the Niagara Falls area?
We also are opening a reuse store. We've got a grant from the city to be able to go in and deconstruct houses that are scheduled for demolition. So we pull out molding, doors, windows, anything that's salvageable, we're going to pull out of that house, take it back. We have a building where they can come in, people can look at the stuff, and then they would buy it from us. And so that's going to be kind of a self-sustaining. And we have three of our graduates are actually working in that project right now. And that'll be opening in the next few weeks.
Now, you said you run this ministry out of your church. What part of the ministry is run out of your church?
Well, currently, our executive director, he has office space there, one of our classrooms, offices, he utilizes that. And then our fellowship hall, we allow them to actually do the classroom work down there. We've set up a storage area where they can store their tools and such. This summer—
So they're actually being trained in the church.
Correct. That's their classroom environment. And the church right now sits about three blocks from our first housing project. If people want more information, want to see on that, They can go to the Isaiah 61, niagarafalls.org is our website, Isaiah 61, niagarafalls.org. It's all one, kind of one word, one string there. Hopefully this summer, we've been given a building from the city. It's an old fire station, and we're going to be rehabbing that building. The projected date is to come in sometime midsummer and have that open. The downstairs will be the reuse store, and then the upstairs will be classroom and office space.
Well, it's really nice that you're able to rehab these old buildings and preserve them and allow people who would never have an ability to be able to own a home to actually own one and bring their family up in a decent neighborhood. We really appreciate that. And plus, there's a spiritual component to all this as well. You're sharing the gospel and you're helping them to see how Christ can rejuvenate their lives and can help mend their families.
That's it. I currently disciple one of the guys that's a graduate of the program. And when he graduated, he got a job at a local bakery that had several places, one of the famous bakeries in the area, that he's now the assistant maintenance supervisor for these bakeries. And so it's exciting to see how God's worked in his life.
Mark, could you tell us about some of the folks that the Lord has blessed and you've had a real spiritual impact in their lives?
Sure. Another young woman that we minister to, she has two children, and we are kind of building into her life. We're trying to disciple her. She came to know the Lord about 3 years ago. She and her mom were coming to the Closed Closet Ministry before we assumed control of that. And through that ministry, she and her mom came to know the Lord. And so we've been ministering to her about a year ago. I guess it was about a year ago. Her mom went into a coma around Christmas time, and they thought they had lost her. And as a matter of fact, we went down, we were working with the family. The family had all been called in from different parts of the country to say their final goodbyes. And they were going to take her off life support. Doctor said she was brain dead. We went in, we had been praying for her. The day that we got there to meet with the family, they were getting ready to pull the plug. They did, and she woke up. Miraculous healing. She did pass away about 4 months later, but that was 4 months that the family had with her that they wouldn't have had. And they were able to say their proper goodbyes and bring some closure to that family. And she knew the Lord, and it was great that she knew where she was going to be spending eternity.
Well, praise the Lord, Mark. We're really thankful for your ministry, and thank you for sharing with us this week.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We appreciate those who write into us each week because this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without prayer support and financial support of our listeners. Many have included us in their will to help us to continue this broadcast into the future. This is the oldest Christian broadcast in North America. We've been on the air for well over 90-plus years, and God has continued to bless us, and it's been primarily through the legacy gifts or people that remember us in the will that we've been able to continue this ministry. This month, we're offering a wonderful, wonderful pamphlet. It's entitled Palm Sunday to Easter, and it chronicles the last week of Jesus' life. Not only does it have a day-by-day timeline with scripture references, but it also connects them to the map of Jerusalem. And what's really a blessing, it has a clock of sorts, which chronicles the final hours of Jesus' life from his trial before Pilate to his burial. Another helpful feature shows the Roman, Jewish, and modern time frames to make sense of the sequence. It includes also some Jewish tombs of that period with artifacts, and also talks about crucifixion. It actually mentions the medical effects of scourging and the crucifixion that would have been placed on Jesus' body. It's a well thought out pamphlet that is solid and has biblical references, and it's really helpful for Bible study and to put every verse in perspective that talks about the great work that Jesus did on the cross from Palm Sunday to Easter. I really encourage you highly to get a copy of this pamphlet. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And please continue to pray for this broadcast.
Yes, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled, Bless the Lord. Printed copies are available upon request.
I was recently encouraged when I visited the home of a dear older couple who have been such a blessing to me and to my wife. As I looked on the wall of their living room, I saw something I had never read before. It was framed, and it was called, I'm Drinking from My Saucer. It grabbed my attention. I made a copy, and it goes like this. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got some kids that love me. That makes me rich enough. I just thank God for His blessings and the mercy He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. I remember times when all went wrong and my faith got a little thin, and all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeked through again. So, Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough, and I may never be too busy to help another bear their load. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. That's encouraging, and I want to encourage your heart today. The Bible is full of encouragement. Psalm 103 is one of my favorites. Turn there, Psalm 103. At least listen if you can't turn in your Bible right now. It opens with a burst of praise as David the writer holds communion with his own soul. He gets alone and reviews the wonderful benefits the Lord has bestowed upon him. It's good for us to copy David in this respect. Did you ever get alone in the presence of the Lord who loves you so much and just review the gracious way in which He's blessed you? The old hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Someone said, I count mine ton by ton. When David did this, he said to himself, I must do two things. Verse 1, I must praise God, and I must be very careful that I do not forget the Lord's benefits. Verse 2, David knew how easy it was for him to forget the gracious way in which the Lord had blessed him. And so he enumerated 5 great blessings that the Lord bestows upon all who put their trust in Him. Now there's much more in Psalm 103, but we're just going to look at the first 5 verses. What are these 5 benefits that the Lord has bestowed upon us as believers? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, if you belong to God who is your heavenly Father through faith in Christ, then today you can count these blessings. Verse 1 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then the verses continue. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at these 5 things. The very first one David names, because he knew it so well in his life, was this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's in verse 3. This is the first benefit that the Lord bestows upon us because of the first thing we need. We need forgiveness. We can never have fellowship with God until the question of our sin has been dealt with. Sin is a transgression against God, and we've all transgressed. If you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. We're all guilty. And the wonderful thing is that God has made a perfect provision for our pardon, for our forgiveness, in the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, to save us from sin, to cleanse us from all sin with His precious blood. In verse 10 of this same Psalm 103, it reads, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's good news, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How can that be? Well, it's because the Bible clearly teaches that through Jesus Christ, you and I, who are sinners, having come short of the glory of God, guilty, separated, deserving of death and hell for all eternity, through Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has not dealt with us according to our sins. Instead, he sent his Son to be our Savior, his precious Son. And Jesus said, God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The forgiveness of sins, the joy of being cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 32, another of David's great psalms, David had sinned against God, sinned with Bathsheba for a period of time, tried to hide his sin. He even committed murder, and it led from one sin to another. And finally, David confessed his sin, and God forgave him. And in Psalm 32, also in Psalm 55, just like here in Psalm 103, David talks about God's forgiveness. He says in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And then he says, when I kept silence, when I refused to confess I was a sinner, and the kind that God said I was, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Stop and think about it. And then he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. That means stop and think of it. The Lord forgave him of all his sin. Now that's the first benefit you can praise God for. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you can praise him for forgiveness, no matter what the circumstances may be. God has lifted a huge weight of guilt, a huge debt, the burden of sin from your life. The result is a life of praise to God for what he has done, and thanksgiving that he forgives our sin. The second benefit David praises God for in Psalm 103 is he healeth our diseases. That's also in verse 3. The Lord is not only our Savior, he is our great physician. He, of course, can heal our bodies, and God does heal today. He's given specific promises to encourage us to look for him and for his healing. For example, in James chapter 5, God clearly tells us, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Jesus is also the healer of our minds. Often we are in urgent need of this. The stress of these difficult days has resulted in a great many nervous and emotional upsets and breakdowns. No one is immune to the things we're now facing in life. Can God heal the mind? Of course he can. Listen to this wonderful verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It would seem, however, that the reference in Psalm 103, verse 3, is primarily dealing with healing our souls and spirits. Our souls get diseased, out of harmony, out of joint. In this matter of healing, it's important to notice that it's not always God's will to give physical healing. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that there is a ministry of suffering. God entrusts suffering to some of his people. He permits them to pass through fierce testings. It's his will for them. And he promises to greatly reward those who suffer someday. Listen to what Peter wrote. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rather rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. He said in the first chapter of his first letter, 1 Peter, that God has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through various testings, that the trial trial of your faith more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you do not see him, you rejoice by believing, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of the soul. God certainly does heal disease, not only body and mind, but soul and spirit. When we come to him, he comforts and strengthens and heals us from within with the precious ointment of his presence and his power and his precious word. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all comfort. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. The third benefit here in Psalm 103 that David rejoices in and praises God for is this. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, verse 4. Does it mean that a Christian is always protected from harm and danger? No, it means that the Lord Jesus Christ keeps his children in the center of his will all the time, in all circumstances, and that no harm can come to them unless he permits it. Nothing can come to a child of God that does not come through the hands of his loving heavenly Father, either sent or allowed by God. That's why we quote verses like Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God permits Christians to go through times of difficulty so he can prove himself to be the God who is sufficient and show his love in a special way. Do Christians have accidents? Yes. Better say incidents, but never without God's permission. It could be that there is another interpretation to this statement, who redeems thy life from destruction, because it's possible to have a saved soul and yet a lost life. He redeems your life from destruction, yes, because he keeps you. The Bible says, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. David wrote in another psalm, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Thank God today that he saves you, and he also keeps you. He saved your soul, he redeemed you with his precious blood, and he redeems you in your life from destruction. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. But David mentions two more wonderful blessings in Psalm 103. The fourth one is this. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How wonderful these words are. The word crown really means compasses you around, hems you in, and of course only royalty is crowned. That's why the Bible teaches us that as believers, being washed from our sins by his own precious blood, he's made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every believer is part of Christian royalty. We belong to the King of kings and the Lord of lords who's coming back again. We are his by faith in his precious finished work on Calvary and his precious shed blood. He's risen. He's seated. He's interceding. He's building his church, and he's coming back someday to take us to be with him, to behold his glory, and to dwell in the Father's house forever. He crowns us daily with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body someday and fashion it like unto his glorious body according to his working, his power whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He loves you so much. Aren't you grateful for his kindness, his loving kindness and tender mercies? And then last of all, David says, who redeems your life or satisfies your life with good things. Verse 4, he satisfies us with good things. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies every day. And he satisfies our lives with good things so that our mouth can express how good God is. Someone has said God is good, and someone else said God is good all the time. And He is. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Bible says the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And when you get tired and weary, and as you get older and you can't do the things you once did, and you begin to feel that you'll never be able to keep going, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, how good is the God we adore. I remember years ago a blind man singing on the streets of Toronto. His voice was echoing up into the buildings around him. And he was singing out so loud. And he had a beautiful voice. And he was singing an old chorus. Wide, wide is the ocean. High as the heavens above. Deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of His care. For His word teaches me that His love reaches me everywhere. He was smiling as he went. People stopped to listen. What a blessing he was. He was blessing the Lord for all of these benefits like David was in Psalm 103. And he was drinking from his saucer because his cup was overflowing. You can experience that today. Quit your sinning and your frustration and your rebellion. Turn to God. Receive His Son as your Savior. He'll fill your life with joy overflowing.
I trust the Lord used the previous message to draw you closer to Himself and to help you to be encouraged in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we continue to be concerned about those who do listen to our broadcast. We trust that those of you who have been believers over the years have been encouraged, and we pray that the Word of God will continue to bless you and help you today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing. And to those who have never received Christ personally, this is Easter, and of course, this is the time where the Lord Jesus fulfilled His goal of going to the cross. The purpose for Him coming and be born in a manger and living a sinless life was to go to the cross and bear each of our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. And as He hung between heaven and earth, He paid the hell that we deserve for all our sins. He took it upon Himself. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Scripture says. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. Old things pass away. All your sins are forgiven. You have a new life. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a new opportunity. Also, all of us can have our faith increased and even blessed by ordering our copy of Palm Sunday to Easter. I know that you'll not be disappointed by receiving this free gift from our ministry. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And you can hear previous broadcasts of Canada's National Bible Hour. Please remember us in your prayers, and please pray that God will continue to sustain us financially so that we can continue this broadcast into the future. May the Lord bless you throughout this week, and I trust you'll continue to sense His presence and do His work.